Oh. Can you hear me now? All right, we're getting there. Okay. All right. So I'm actually kind of excited about this ping pong night, John. I didn't hear about it until today, but one of the things that I did while I was getting ready for the sermon today was I started kind of reminiscing about my middle school days. And one of the things that I did in middle school was we started hosting the Japanese students here. And one of the huge crazes, I don't know if it's still as big as it was in the mid-90s, was ping pong. And I had what I would call good old-fashioned farm ping pong, where you just kind of hit it back and forth and you hit it, you try and hit it as fast as you can, but the Japanese students, they had this real funny way of holding the ping pong paddle, and it was kind of sideways this way, and they would hit it about that far off the net. I had no idea where that thing was, so I spent that entire summer perfecting that serve. So, it's been a long time since I've played ping pong. I need some warm-up. When Lexi, my oldest daughter, dances, they have warm-up an hour before. Do we have that for ping pong? Okay. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I come before you sometimes less eloquent than I'd like, but it's not about me, how I would say it. It's about you and what you would have to say to us. And so, Lord, I would ask that you would open our ears today, especially my ears, to hear what you would have to say. And I ask that the Spirit would move in us, because today is going to be more about our discussion afterwards than possibly even what I'm talking about right now. So with that, in Jesus' name, amen. For the high schoolers, I'm going to make an ancient reference. To some of you, this is still fairly new, but in the fall of 1990, I was a new kid at a new school. I was outgoing, but the only person I knew in my class was my twin brother, Joel. I had gone from a small private Christian school with a combined 5th and 6th grade class of 13 to Madison South Elementary, the biggest school, elementary school, I think it still is, in the Madison District, with a class of 26, and there were 3 classes of 26, I think. Most of the other boys had known each other since kindergarten, and it made recess a bit tough. Here's the reference. The hot topics that year were Vanilla Ice, MC Hammer, Parachute Pants. Am I preaching it here? Okay. The year before, it had been yo-yos and Back to the Future 2. I don't know how those intersected, but everybody at recess had a yo-yo, and everybody had these really wonky glasses from 2017, which looked nothing like the glasses I had last year. Just saying, no hoverboards, no flying cars. I was really disappointed. Anyways. Ninja Turtles? Yes. Doug, I bet you can do the dance from the movie.
I can.
Okay. There was a kid named Richard Lopez. I don't know if any of you guys remember Richard Lopez. He was camper of the year at a brand new youth camp that started here at Grace Fellowship Church. And there was also a kid that I met that year, got into a fight with him right out there in the parking lot. His name was Mike Glass. We're now really good friends. 1990 was also the year that I fell in love with reading and had just started to learn chess. So, today's theme, this year's theme, is a wide open door, Revelations 3:8. Go ahead and switch the slide. We've gone through the 5 thresholds. Next slide. Now what? One more picture. Chess! Yeah. Okay, maybe not chess, but that's what my story has to do with. One of the fifth grade teachers started a chess club during lunch recess. And since recess was kind of hard for me, I signed right up. And one of the kids that signed up to do battle on the board was a skinny kid named Colin. He actually lived down the road from me. I had no idea who he was until we started playing chess together. He was kind of rough around the edges, real smooth talker, had thin red hair, and was determined to win. We spent a few weeks learning the basics, pawns moving, castling, which my wife still says is cheating. We spent a few weeks learning the basics, and then I think there were like 12 or 14 students. We had a chess tournament, and we battled it out for, I think we had a week of tournaments, kind of a knockout, maybe even a round robin. I don't really even know what that means. And it ended up that Colin and I were in the championship, the Super Bowl, the World Series of chess. Okay, it wasn't really that exciting. But there was a prize, and that prize was a chessboard. I'm sure this fifth grade teacher, who had mentored us in the art of war, so to speak, bought this chessboard out of his own funds, and you know teachers get reimbursed for a lot of stuff, so I'm sure it was real easy on his budget. I can hear the teachers. And so Colin and I battled it out. We actually came to a draw twice, which is really hard to do in chess. In the third game, we came down to the last few pieces, and I won. Yay! I had no idea what We Are the Champions by Queen sounded like, but had I probably would have stood on the chair and sang it. But I already had a chessboard, and Colin, well, he lived down the road with his mom and with his one sister. He didn't have a chessboard, so I gave it to him. And I didn't know it then, but I became close friends with someone who needed a friend. That red-haired kid from down the road, well, decades later, he stopped by my mother's house, showing his new wife around the sights of Mansfield, the carousel, probably the prison, and my mother's house. And he said, and I didn't realize all this, but he told my mom that he knew that he could always come to our house for a safe place to stay. He could always get some really good cookies there. And he could play me chess. Also stole some baseball cards and whatnot. But he was a little rough around the edges. He's now a grown man with a wife and a family. I honestly don't know where he lives, but one of the things I do know is that he's an evangelical pastor. Praise God. Awesome. So what I wanted to know, what I've been curious about, and unfortunately I can't ask, did that fifth grade teacher who started that club, I know he's a Christian man, did he know that the title game in his chess club at Madison South Elementary was going to be between two people who are probably both preaching in front of congregations today? Cool. I don't know. During my short stint at Madison South Elementary, I also learned to trust and admire that fifth grade teacher who had invited us to learn the art of chess and undoubtedly funded that grand prize by himself, like I said. But who knew, who knows, what the other members of that chess club had gone on to do or what impact the teachers had on those short weeks? Well, I'll tell you, God knows. John 4:37-38 says, "Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." So I've been contemplating these games that we played in middle school, and I heard the talk that we have the game club coming up at Madison South, and so it kind of went, I just had this flood of memories. Most of you today have seen the fifth grade teacher. You've probably met him, you've probably talked with him, or at least you've seen where he lived. His name was Mr. Powell. And he lived just over those ponds down the lane on the farm that sits between here and the gardener's house. Unfortunately, he died a fairly tragic death a few years ago, but when I did see him before that, he still remembered myself. He still remembered Colin, and he remembered the three-game championship that ended in a chessboard that I didn't take. Some doors close, and some doors open. The Apostle Paul experienced both in our passage today. So we're going to be reading out of Acts 16:6-10. And I kind of wanted this to be a capstone to our five thresholds and also on the open door theme in Revelation. The Apostle Paul's first missionary journey. This is a little prequel to our section. Go ahead, next slide. In Acts 13, when they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. I would say that's an open door. The Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, "These guys, put your hands on them, and we're going to send them out," and the church did it. That's an open door. Let's see a map. I don't know how well it's going to show up. On your right, you've got Turkey. On the left, you've got Greece. Down at the bottom, you've got the northern coast of Africa. If you can see it, this is Paul's first missionary journey. He goes from Antioch through Crete, goes up, or through Cyprus, goes up, down, and makes his way back around. It's a long, arduous journey. But Paul, at the end of this one, declares his intention to preach to the Gentiles, which is going to be his life calling. And he's just finished his first missionary trip. What do you think he would want to do? What would you want to do if you've just had this amazing conversion on the road to Damascus? You've been accepted into Jerusalem. You've been accepted into the first council at Jerusalem. You're going and you're touring around, instructing the churches about the Judaizers, saying, you know, you really don't need to be circumcised to be a Christian, but you still need to follow the law as loving God and loving his brothers and sisters. And you're just full of the Holy Spirit, and you come back, and you think about it. Next slide. What has God blessed in your past? What missionary things, what Bible studies, what book studies, what relationships, what discipleships had God placed in your past that were great? What things got you motivated out of bed in college? What things got you up in the morning in high school? There was something called Breakfast Club, by the way, at Madison, that that you would go and you would have donuts and juice, and you'd hear a little bit of the gospel, and then you'd go to class jazzed up on donuts and juice. We never had bacon and eggs. I'm just saying, donuts and juice. It was a continental breakfast. Go ahead, next slide. What has God blessed in GFC's past? What things have we done on this property as a church that has absolutely resonated with the people of Mansfield, Ohio? You could probably think of Kingdom Campers. There was an arts festival. We had the Yellow Deli. I'm sure there were I know there were multiple home churches around. By the way, if you've ever dreamed about owning the Barber's Old House on Carpenter Street, it's back up for sale. Just so you know, $45,000, it can be yours. I have no idea who's lived there or what shape it's in. But that was the site of one of the home churches in Mansfield. Amazing stuff. Foundational stuff. What do you do with it? Let's go to Paul's second missionary journey. So Paul's pretty jazzed. Things are going good. It is 11:11. So on Armistice, sorry, we're going to just break right here. The 11th day of the 11th month, the 11th hour, and I went ahead and said the 11th minute. The peace treaty of Paris was signed and ended the World War I. Just a little bit of history. And so I just wanted to pause and say that. It's been 100 years. 100 years since the end of that war. Anyways, all right. Amen. Acts 16. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Let's go to the next map. I think. Nope. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went to the town of Troas. Go ahead, next slide. Okay. So Paul's had this fantastic first missionary trip. He's going to go on his second missionary trip, and he's already declared that he's going to preach to the Gentiles. He goes up the coast, stops by at home in Tarsus. I don't know if he had to pick up a book or just see his mom and get a hot meal. Then he goes on to Antioch, and then he's going to go north. He's going to go witness to the northern provinces of Asia. And Jesus says, hold on. Now, I don't know. There's been lots of commentary. If you read about it, there's reasons why he couldn't go into Asia. Were there hostilities, roads closed, natural disasters, or did the Holy Spirit just say, no, just keep going, just keep going? And I think that's, honestly, I think that's where Grace Fellowship is at right now. I think we've had a lot of glorious past, a lot of foundational stuff, great things that happened, and a lot of that is why we're here right now. But the Holy Spirit said, wait, I have something else. I have something new. What's our tendency when God closes a door? A very human thing. Yeah. Try to open a window. My mother told me once that she delayed getting new windows in the house because she knew that us boys, while we still lived there, would always forget our house key. And we also knew that the windows were bad, so if we popped the window, we could crawl in. So there was no way she was letting us crawl through new windows. Just saying. How do we know what God has for us next? Paul may not have known, but he did know. He did now, that a closed door meant. He knew what that meant, and so he moved on following the Spirit's lead. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So when a door closes, are we trying to jimmy the window? I tell you what, there's some blood on that threshold of that window, scraping my ankles trying to get in. Do we jimmy a window or do we listen to the Holy Spirit? And so when you guys are in your circle groups, one of the questions I'd like you to go over is, how do you know what the Spirit's voice sounds like? That's deep. Oh, the deep, deep love of the... Okay, anyways. Is God calling you, if you can hear his voice, is God calling you to something new, or is he pruning your ministries for more growth? How do you know? I found out, by the way, that it's apparently not cool to wear your varsity jacket if you've graduated to the football games. I didn't know that. I thought if I had bought a varsity jacket in 1997 and I wore it to the Madison football game, it'd be retro. It'd be cool. It'd be no, can't do that. But I wonder how many of us, and this is me included, because I grew up in the golden age of what I would call the summer camps here at Grace Fellowship. How many of us wear our varsity jacket from 1967, from 1978, from 1997? That was when I graduated. How many of us wear our varsity jackets to church, so to speak? I know you do, but you haven't graduated yet. Acts 16:9-10. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, I would think that dream would be pretty clear. Not only is he hearing God's voice, he's seeing what he's supposed to be doing. Now, I have to admit that I used to think that was pretty hokey. He's going to have a prophetic dream. And then when I was a senior in high school, God gave me not necessarily a prophetic dream, but a dream of what was going on with somebody at that very moment. And he's only done that several times with me since. And so when I read this passage, I've been really enjoying reading Acts. If you really are looking for something to kind of get you into church history, get you into your Bible, Acts just boom, 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 boom. I like it a lot. But when I read this verse, it really resonated with me. Oh, I know what he's talking about. Now, I got to tell you, there was the last time I had a dream like that, I really, really resisted it. And a non-believer that it was about later cornered me when I told her about it, and she said, "You have no right to withhold God's word from me." She was a Hindu. And I said, I really just got to tell you about this dream I had. And she said, "How long have you had that dream?" And I told her. And she said, "Shame on you." Woke me up, I'll tell you that. After Paul had seen the vision, so this isn't necessarily Paul writing Acts, this is Luke, we assume. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Good conclusion. God shut a door, Paul is listening, and a door opens. Now, this is the slide I was actually looking for. This is Paul's second missionary journey. So they're starting in the bottom right, Jerusalem. They're going up to Antioch like he had done before. So he's just assuming he's going to go check on the seeds that he planted earlier. He cuts across Tarsus, like I said, to stop at home, say hi to the friends and whatever. He goes through, ends up on that big long white line is all the way to Troas, trying to make a right-hand turn. He's just moving, and God says, "Nope, not yet. Nope, not yet. Nope, not yet." Now, if he had either forced his way through a window or tried to do something without listening to the Lord, where's that other two-thirds of his trip? I mean, we've got Athens, we've got Corinth, we've got all these other towns that we read books, Thessalonica, all these other towns that later when he was in Roman jail probably wrote letters back to them. How much of God's blessing would he not have received? Now, the high school group and I have discussed this earlier. If Paul hadn't obeyed God's call, would somebody else, Luke, Mark, any of those Barnabas, would they have gone through Greece? Who knows? What we do know is that Paul did obey. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, we get a little kind of a back-looking remembrance perspective. "Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened the door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia." So he gets God's call. He's still not finding who he's looking for, yet he still obeys. Here's the question, another question that I'm going to have you talk about in your groups. What door is Christ opening for you now? Is it what you've envisioned for yourself? Or is it a little less comfortable? Is it truly radical? Is it just waiting for his kingdom? Or is it stepping into his kingdom and pushing his kingdom out? Thankfully, all we have to do is to follow the Spirit's lead, and Paul sums it up nicely as he reflects again back on events. "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread," and this is just an odd comparison to me. I'm not, maybe if we were in the high Catholic church or one of the Orthodox churches where they use a lot of incense and things, maybe I'd understand a little bit more. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved, and to those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death. To the other an aroma that brings life. I think that's why they had such a reaction to the gospel as they went through Asia and then Greece and Macedonia. You are the aroma of the gospel. Some people smell death. Some people smell life. And if somebody smells death, they're going to push you away. They're going to attack you. But it's truth. Now, I'm not going to go back to middle school and compare aromas. Anyways. Or fourth graders, right, Mrs. Vega? Okay, all right. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. Do you peddle the word of God for profit? Now, I'm not just talking money. Do you gain an element of respectability by peddling the gospel? Do you earn an aura of better than thou for peddling the gospel? There are some people who do get money. Televangelists, I'll leave that opinion up to you guys. There are some good and there are some not so good. One, on the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. So, you can go ahead and skip through a couple slides, I'm assuming. Last slide. There we go. This is our theme for the year. An open door of service. We're specifically talking about evangelism. We had the five steps, which we've had you guys quote three or four Sundays or five Sundays in a row. This, when we go into our circle churches, is truly what I think, other than potlucks, which are awesome, I'm not saying anything against potlucks or food or just general sociability. This is what the circle groups are for. This is where we put rubber to the road. This is where we can discuss what's been going on in our talks and apply it as a group. Some of the groups are really starting to branch out. But it's scary. It takes transportation. It takes gas. It takes time. Time that gets subtracted from family, friends, football, Ohio State. Maybe not Ohio State. Maybe you can have that on the phone while you're doing it. Anyways. Tom, I had to put that in there for you. So we're going to discuss. What has God called you to in the past? What has God called this church to in the past? But then, what is God calling you to specifically? Not just, I'm going to be at home and I'm going to pray for everybody. Although, if you're at home, please pray. If you're not able to go somewhere, please pray for those that are. But what is God calling me to do? And I would like us to go around and discuss how we know that and what we can do as groups to express that. And then pray about it at the end. So, it's 11:25. This is where we break into Circle Church. The Fox group is the visitor group today, but the Foxes had some car issues, so they were not able to make it. And so Andy up there, hello. If you're an unattached visitor, or if you'd like to try out a new group, Andy's your man. Where do you guys meet? Up the stairs in the lobby, or if you don't like stairs, you can go all the way around. Get a little air conditioning before you come back in. Anyways, we're going to take about 5 minutes to get coffee and go to the bathroom. But I would like it if we break at about noon, because I know we have a lot of veterans and family members who can get free lunches, and I don't want them to miss out on that. So, 5 minutes to get coffee, go to the bathroom, meet in your groups, and about noon... let's break up. God bless.